Chapter 3 Kletch Scabclaw spread his arms out to either side, while a Skaven slave hung the heavy ambassadorial cloak of Clan Rickett over his shoulders. It was a bit much for the cloying humidity of the corpse marshes, and itched in hard-to-reach places that no garment so august should. Its fleas had been passed from priest to priest for 200 years, and were now the hardy descendants of those that had survived the clan's full arsenal of pesticidal sorcery. His dresser ducked under his arm and shuffled around to the front. The slave was naked, but for its own scrappy fur and the brands of clan and owner, but Kletch was only partially reassured by that. To his mind, there were any number of innovative places in which a determined assassin might secrete a weapon. His yellow eyes drilled into the side of the slave's head. The wretch bared its throat with a whimper, stabbing its thumb several times in its panic to fasten the cloak's rat-bone collar. Kletch fidgeted as the slave fussed. It was too hot. The garish green light of the warpstone braziers around the low-roof tent was too bright. The spiced scent they gave off to hold back the reek was too sickly sweet.
"How much long to High Moon?"
he asked of the plague monk seated against the wall of the pavilion behind his back.
"Soon, soon."
Scurf's piebald fur was pox-scarred, so denuded of hair from his own incessant scratching that he resembled a game bird that had been abandoned before it could be fully plucked. The crusted word-bringer set his claw quill onto the stack of man-skin parchment, on which he'd been cataloguing the many new diseases they had encountered since their arrival in the corpse marshes, and shrugged.
"An hour, I think, guess."
Kletch wriggled his shoulders in discomfort.
"Something is about to happen, come. I feel in my claws." "I feel smell also,"
said Skurf, always eager to concur. The slave scurried over to the brass-ribbed chest, sitting open by the hide wall of the tent, and returned with Kletch's warpstone-tipped staff. Kletch snapped it off the slave with a snarled rebuke. Feeling a little better, he gave the air a fresh sniff, opening his mouth to taste. Between the reek of putrefaction and his own efforts to keep it at bay, there was little left to be smelled. But somehow he knew that there was more than just the three of them present in that tent.
"You want wish to go home?"
asked Skurf.
"No,"
said Kletch, meaning yes.
"The clan lords will not reward us for returning with paws empty. The lightning men hit them much hard in lots many places. Clan lords grow desperate. They make bad decisions when they are desperate."
The slave scurried back, bearing a bottle filled with a greenish-red liquor that it poured into a goblet. Steam hissed off the cup as the liquid hit the lacquer. The slave bobbed its head low and presented the potation. Kletch eyed the rodent severely. With a gulp, the slave brought the cup to its lips and took the daintiest sip. Kletch took the goblet from his retching slave, stole his nerve, and then downed its contents. He grimaced, throat tightening, musk glands clenching, and stuck out his tongue.
Best potions taste worst,"
said Skurf sagely. Clan Rickett had once been part of Pestilens, before a tunnel collapse in the ways between worlds had separated them from their brethren. They still retained many of the old immunities, but the cautious rat was the healthy rat.
"This all a waste of time, anyway,"
said Skurf, picking up his quill once more and dunking it in the shelled ink-bug, still twitching on his table. Scratching away at the parchment, he went on.
"He has many warriors, but this not the copse's bule used to frighten my litter when I was small young."
Kletch was unconvinced. Bule could afford to let the world pass him by for a millennium or two if he chose to do so. Of that he was certain. And if Bule was any less than the tyrant of clan legend, then Kletch was glad that he had not been the envoy sent to treat with that Lord of Plagues.
"One hour more we can wait. Let us see this overdone. But have all my warriors ready to go."
"Yes, yes,"
said Skurf, carefully folding his quill and packing it away. Kletch twitched aside the tent flap and slipped out into the muggy night with wrinkled nose and downcast eyes. Two from the 24 plague monks, quietly chittering their praises on the broken ground outside of the tent, fell into step behind him. A colossal fortress temple had once stood here, built by a people who had worshipped the stars and raised towers of incredible scale, that they might feel the distant objects of their faith more keenly. For all that their eyes had attended the heavens, they had clearly also been masters of stone. Many of the great structures still stood, though they were ruinous now. Vertebral columns of stone that had been yellowed by blight, weather, and war. Copsis Buell called this place the Hanging Gardens, named so for the thousands upon thousands of dead and dying strung up from its moss-clad defensive walls. Those still alive writhed in fever, so that the walls themselves appeared in motion. Their mouths moved, but no evidence of their torment could be heard from them, not above the flies. To count the flies was to court insanity. They were infinite, swarms within swarms, billowing over the corrupted fortress in such numbers that at times they were as the chitinous outer wings of a beetle closing over the world and shutting out the sky. At such times, the drone was a gnawing on the boundary between earth and heavens, between real and unreal. At other times, it was simply maddening. It set the teeth on edge. The Clan Rickett camp pavilion was set up on the rubble where the innermost gate had crumbled to create a rockery, populated with razor weeds that were watered each day with the blood of year-dead men. It would foul a charge as surely as any gate ever would, assuming any enemy had the fortitude to survive as far as Buell's innermost defensive line. From that vantage, Kletch had an unimpeded and deeply unpleasant view. The corpse marshes were monstrous. It reminded him only somewhat of the honeycombed pox caves of Murgid Fien, where diseases were bred, mutated and harvested from slaves of every race. But here the scale was far more epic. The very fabric of the world, for as far as his dim eyes could show him, felt rotten, perished. The reports of all his senses scurried about his mind to decry its wrongness, and even he, master of the industrialization of degradation, felt sickened by it. A geyser of corpse gas rippled upwards and outwards from a sinkhole further down near the gatehouse. Grime spattered back over the rotten gates, and the band of warriors marching home over its splinters. A column of plague beasts and meat wagons followed them. Kletch recognized Fistula's pack, the most useful of Buell's warriors, but a drop in the septic ocean of his horde. Leaning against his staff, he settled in to wait. "Another day spent in genuflection to our Lord's placidity, envoy," said Fistula, as he trampled up the slope, evidently bound for the same destination as Kletch. The champion was spattered with loose gore and beaming. Contempt for all and sundry, and for Kletch in particular, vibrant in his bloodshot eyes. The Blight Lord walked over, laden carts drawn by withered, pestilential beasts creaking on behind him. Kletch stiffened with immediate suspicion and sniffed at the flies buzzing lazily after the vehicle's cargo. The experiments of Clan Berzik in breeding eavesdropping mosquitoes had faltered as a consequence of the clan's incompetence. But one never knew. One never knew.
"Maybe,"
he said, then churred something conciliatory and gestured with his tail to the top of the hill. There, encircled by a ring of luminous white pillars that in their cleanliness exuded a sense of power and prominence, was a marble archway carved with astrological constellations and runic notations. It stood bare to the stars, as if waiting only on their call, and even inert as it was, the sight of it sent a frisson of imagined dread running to the tip of his tail. He could understand why the ancients here had built such a monument to the heavens. He licked his gums nervously.
"And what does Buell one think will happen tonight?"
"I can tell you what I think will happen."
Kletch caught the Blight Lord's look and read the need there. Battle. Survival. aims not identical to his, but with cunning words and enough will, perhaps complimentary ones. He glanced upwards again to mark the approach of high moon, his neck accustomed to tunnels and caves, already sore from continually doing so. That was when he noticed what had been worrying at him since he left his tent. The stars were moving.